This is not just another golf podcast. This is Golf Underground. This is Golf Underground. We just happen to be the third funniest podcast in golf. We interview PGA Tour pros, Hall of Fame athletes, rock stars, business leaders. Sure, we talk about golf, but we have fun. All right, let's do it. Welcome to Golf Underground. Now your hosts, Wardo, Sully, and MLB Hall of Famer, George Brett.
Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now the Golf Underground is brought to you by Star Companies, KC. Experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Regain functional medicine. Feel better, function better, move better, and look better. Regal Distributing, specializing in the distribution of food service and professional cleaning supplies to a variety of industries. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sono Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results tailored perfectly to individual needs. Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia, where you'll score a double eagle on your next car or truck. Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford, nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens, put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, onto the program.
Welcome to Golf Underground. Here we are on a Monday, minus Sully, probably in a better spot. We'll all get a few more words in, especially our guest today. But Justin Reed, appreciate the time. Obviously, you got home late last night after a Jets victory. Wasn't easy, but thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. No problem.
And willingness to deal with a Kansas City Hall of Famer and a couple golf instructors here on a
Monday afternoon. This is one of the more fun environments I've ever been in. We're literally inside of a bank vault. You know what I mean? First time I've ever been in one. Got the, you know, 12-inch, maybe 20-inch thick door.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's empty. I would have liked to have been here in the bank's heyday.
All right.
A lot of cash.
Yeah.
A lot of cash.
Now, this is the best room in the whole place right here.
Yeah,
I love it. Three hitting bays, putting labs, you got a workout facility, you got a dry sauna, you got
a cold plunge. It's too warm for him because it's at 42 degrees.
Here every day. We got two guys from New Zealand here every day when they're not on tour, but a great place to hang, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Great place.
And we recently picked up a couple female fitness instructors, and let me tell you, they look a lot better than the current staff. So
a lot better hairlines.
Well, the old instructor that you had was pretty sweet to look at. Unfortunately, your wife is having a baby like in 2 or 3 days.
Well, we're going to induce
will she
on
come
Friday.
Back? Will she come back and work after?
I sure hope so.
Yeah, okay.
I sure hope so. She wants that paycheck.
You have to pay her when she does it, or is it just kind of?
Is that matrimony's coming in regardless?
She's paid. She's paid. Absolutely.
Sinks, are you paid, or do you do this out of the kindness of your heart?
Out of the kindness of my heart.
plus a couple, you know.
You know, what's so fun about this game, and then we'll get on to with the good stuff, is there's so many great people that we teach. I literally, the time, 1 hour seems like a long time to be with somebody. It goes by like this. And for all the people we teach, I'm literally like, I'd teach that dude for free. I'd teach that guy for free. We just have so many great people that roll through here that it's fun.
You called me Sunday morning?
Yep.
You called me, yesterday morning.
You called me. Yesterday, I called you back.
Yeah, you called me back and you said, you got to get out here. I got two gals I'm working with. And how old are they? Like 9
one of
and 10?
Them, no, one of them's a freshman in high school. And then the other one's in 6th grade.
Yeah.
And their dad is a huge George Brett fan. But every time his buddy and his buddy's daughter, the little dark-skinned gal that comes through,
right,
the tan one, she literally... You come through every time that girl's here. And then that guy goes and tells the other dad, George was there again. George was there again. And so he's like, George is never there when I come in here. I'm like, Well, you're coming at the wrong time.
Was that the gal? You wanted me to come yesterday, but yeah. I was too busy watching the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. The two girls are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And there's many more that, you know, they just get better, younger and younger and younger.
George, I always forget that you're a local celebrity, so every time somebody tells me how cool it is that I get to hang out with you all the time, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's okay.
You hang out with my kids more than you hang out with me.
All right, let's get on with the program, what everybody wants to hear. Justin, obviously, been here for your second year now. We have incredible talent, great defense. Talk through what you came into year one and where you see things going.
Yeah, I mean, year one was... a lot of change on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, we had a lot of new faces, a lot of young talent, but it was just about getting together on the defensive back room. We had five rookies, three of which were starting for us on the back end. It was myself, Juan Thornhill, and Legarius Sneed were the only ones who weren't rookies that was playing on the backfield. And as the season just went on in Spagnuolo's defense, it has a little bit of a learning curve to it. But as you start rolling around and get some games under your belt, it starts to come together. And after some growing pains early on in the season last year, it really started to bring things together towards the end and make some meaningful impact, especially in the playoff run to help us win some games. And you see all that experience really starting to show up this year. And just the youth and chemistry and knowledge and just relentless effort of the defense as a whole, because guys have chemistry now, guys know the defense, guys are bought in and play the system really well. And we started the year off playing some really good defense, and we just got to, you know, keep raising the bar and find ways to get better and, you know, find a way to repeat.
Only team in the National League, I think, thus far not to give up more than 21 points in a game.
Really?
I heard that on the radio.
Yeah,
I heard that on the radio.
And we also have the youngest defense in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a crazy
thing.
You were saying last year I was at the Super Bowl in Phoenix, and you started five rookies on defense?
Yeah, we have five rookies.
Defense for a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
That's fucking believable.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes to the coaching and goes to the guys that have been around, what, your sixth year now?
Yep.
That have been around a little while in the leadership side of things.
And that's a beautiful part about the type of culture that's built in the Kansas City locker room is, you know, you have some teams where guys are hesitant to try and help the next man because they might be worried about their roster position or whatever. But in the true winning culture and winning team effort, like, your veterans are pulling everybody along with them because you truly need everybody. Injuries are going to happen. Adversity is going to strike. And you're going to need that next man up to be as prepared as he possibly can to take the field so that he can go out and make plays and ultimately do what we're all here to do, which is win football games.
Yeah, love it. Love it. So talk through how the defense, I know this is not a newer thing, but, you know, we've turned it on late last year, and then this year we've been incredible. How does that influence the offensive side of the ball and maybe some decisions that Pat has to make? Or does it change the way that Pat plays at all, knowing he doesn't have to put up 35 or 42 a game?
Well, hopefully it takes some pressure off of them, knowing that they have a defense that they can rely on this year. And, you know, if we're in a situation where if we have to punt or go for it, you know, Give us some responsibility, some credit. Go ahead, punt the ball, and we'll get the ball back to us. And that type of trust, it goes both ways, man. That's the games when the offense is going to bail the defense out if we happen to give up an unfortunate play. And there's going to be games where the defense is going to bail the offense out. So if we get things clicking on all cylinders, I think it's going to be very scary for the rest of the league to try and keep up with the amount of firepower that we've got on both sides of the ball.
Well, you know, it's crazy. The last year, the last 2 years, I don't think there's a team in the NFL that goes for it fourth and two, fourth and three more than playing you guys.
Yeah, any team
because
that plays
they
us.
Feel they got to put up 45 points a game, and if they punt, they think the Chiefs are going to score. So they put so much pressure on you guys.
Yeah,
you know, because it's fourth and five, and they're on their on the 50-yard line. Let's say on your 45. Yeah.
Well, it happened last night.
They don't want to punt it. Yeah, it happened last night
in the second quarter.
They don't do that against other teams. Mm-hmm. They just go ahead and punt the ball, so it does put a lot more pressure on you.
Yep. Detroit Lions, first game of the season. Yeah. They're on their own 19-yard line. They run a fake punt, you know.
Right.
So we're going to get that every week in and week out because, you know, Pat is a really special football player, man, one of the greatest of all time, and teams will want to keep the ball away from him.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking through the game last night, there's a lot of hype around their QB, and, you know, he's not the guy and all that. And you're – Are you are you even hearing any of this noise? Are you just going in and preparing and knowing that this guy, he's in the NFL, he's got game?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'd bring up some of my earlier interviews before we even played the Jets, because I just had a feeling, man, this could turn into one of those trap game situations where everyone's saying it's supposed to be this type of game and, you know, this guy isn't going to play well. But I was like, listen, he was a first-round pick for a reason. And it's not like when Aaron Rodgers was a quarterback, you know, people were saying that they were instantaneous Super Bowl contenders. That doesn't mean that the rest of the talent that was around Rodgers just disappeared. Their defense and special teams has always been hellacious. They have talent on the offensive side of the ball and Garrett Wilson, their other receiving corps and running back positions. Wilson was struggling a little bit, but you know, all he needed to do was find his confidence, because prior to that, what the biggest thing that you saw about him was just a severe lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. But once he found his confidence, and he found that against us, unfortunately, around the second quarter, mm-hmm. he started to play like the guy that the New York Jets originally drafted him to be. You know, so I want to give him credit, and hopefully he's able to pull some pressure off of himself and some heat on the media that he's been catching.
Yeah, he had all year long. He had a hell of a game. The announcers kept saying, okay, now he's finding his rhythm. Yeah. He's finding his rhythm. Mm-hmm. He's finding his rhythm. And they were saying last week he would have got sacked right there. Mm-hmm. He would have got sacked, but he knew his drops or whatever. He looked there and then boom, he was quick getting rid of the ball. Sound like a TV commentator now.
Yeah.
But I'm just repeating what Chris Collingsworth was saying, and I love him as an announcer. I think he's really entertaining. But he said the guy's finding his rhythm, and the more he gets into his rhythm, the better he's mm-hmm. going to be.
Yep.
So, well, think yep. about that. You're a kid from BYU, hell of a player, first-round draft pick in New York, and you're backing up Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to put pressure on yourself regardless.
And the greatest Jet of all time, Joe Namath, said, I'm tired of watching this guy. Get him out of here.
In a way, there's probably a lot of freedom in that, because at this point, it's like, nobody believes in me. I'm just going to go out there and just start slinging it. It can't be any worse than it is right now.
What was the attitude when you guys came out, it was really loud against you, right? A lot of booing and stuff. When the Jets came out, listening to the radio show this morning when I got up, they said that, you know, they were kind of excited that the Jets were finally coming out of the locker room. But then after the first two or three possessions, everybody's sitting back in their seats going, oh, shit, here we go again.
Yeah.
17-0 in the first quarter. Was it 17-0?
Yeah, it was pretty. It started to feel a little bit more like a home game for the Chiefs at that point. And then they ended up having that play questionable on the safety,
yep.
and that built a little bit of momentum, and they were able to drive down. And
after that, it was a different game.
Yeah, and then once they were able to get in it, because I've been on a bad team. I was on Houston. We went 4-12 2 years in a row. So I know exactly what the mentality of that team was, and I was trying to, you know, tell that to my teammates that, listen, in these type of games, you gotta put them down early, because if there's hope, they're going to fight and claw and battle harder than any team you're going to play, because to them, it's like, you know, we only going to win maybe 2-3 games in the season at this point. I think at this point, with the way Zach's playing, they can win more than that. But from where they are right now, it's like, we just got to get one. And once they're able to get back into the game, you got the fans back involved in it, and those guys fought hard.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was a whole hell of a lot of Chiefs fans up there in New York.
The Chiefs travel better than any other organization.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
they do. International.
Well, we also
they
do. Have
it's unbelievable.
More.
I've been to games in San Diego. I went to games in L.A. I go to Vegas every year. Uh-huh. And it's just incredible how many people.
Most of our away games feel like home games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you add the.
Well, now you got Swifty. Now the Swifties are coming out. Jesus.
Well, hopefully.
But you're going to have to catch up to the Chiefs trend, Swifties. So make sure you start learning the chants and everything.
Hopefully, as a residual, the Justin Reed sales of jerseys go up as well. So I think it's all going to.
Yeah, everybody wins.
Everybody wins. So I just like to watch the football game. You know, Taylor clearly is great, but I want to watch the football game and listen to the announcers.
Yeah, I actually got to meet her too after the Chicago game. She's very sweet as a person. She found a way to compliment everybody she talked to. Yeah. Great, very humble, down to earth. Yep.
That's awesome. Well, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break, and we come back. Let's talk a little bit of Ryder Cup and the parallels between the Jets being down and the U.S. team being down this past weekend. Golf Underground.
Guys, as the male body ages, testosterone levels steadily decline, and your body's become increasingly unable to produce healthy levels of the primary male hormone, testosterone. At Regain Functional Medicine, we can help you regain your quality of life with testosterone replacement therapy. TRT improves brain function, sleep cycles, heart health, performance, and overall body composition so you can feel better, function better, move better, and look better. Visit us today at ifeelmuchbetter.com. Regain Functional Medicine with locations in Lawrence and Leawood. Regain is better.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified, or organic farms, prime-going regions, artisan producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked, honest, clean food.
Cowell Insurance Services is your leading program administrator for workers' compensation. They're dedicated to meeting the unique challenges of the insurance industry and assisting employers in reducing their costs. CIS has provided insurance, claim, and loss control services to various industries, including trucking, construction, retail convenience stores, and healthcare, as well as public entities for over 30 years. They work with both retail agents and industry clients, or a combination of the two. If you're tired of fighting the rising costs of premiums and claims, give Cowell Insurance Services a call. Their dedicated staff is ready to find you the best insurance option at the most competitive price. They can help to define or enhance your safety program in order to move you in the right direction in reducing your claim and premium costs. Contact Cowell Insurance Services today, 816-214-4070.
Hey, Brian Sullivan from the Golf Underground here with a little good news. And that good news is that even double-digit handicappers like me can occasionally make a double eagle. All right, maybe not on a golf course, but even guys like me can score when buying a new car or truck. I'm talking about two stores, two brothers and four generations, treating customers just like family. And I'm talking about our buddies at Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia. With these guys, you'll always score two under with double the inventory and double the customer satisfaction. That's the Bobsite Double Eagle. Now, Bobsite offers a wide selection of vehicles and promise to make the car buying process as quick and as hassle-free as possible. Now, whether you have poor credit, no credit, or maybe a first-time car buyer, you can trust Bobsite Ford. And Bobsite Independence Kia will get you into the car or truck you choose with professionalism and attention to your needs. So go visit our buddies at Bobsite.com, but only if you're looking for a vehicle that makes you feel like a U.S. Open champion.
Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Kansas City. Here we are in the vault, getting ready for another great week. Kid on the way, so if you, any of the listeners want to send a couple diapers for my family, we'd appreciate it. but we talked before the break about Ryder Cup and kind of some of the things you said about, you know, when you got a team down, you got to bury them. And there's so many parallels between match play and golf, where in football, where that's the only time where you're actually playing an opponent or another person in golf. And so the Americans got down early, just like the Jets did last night. They lost the first four matches on Friday and then slowly built a little comeback. And over time, watching it, I watched a ton yesterday morning, but over time, I just thought they started getting a little momentum in the singles matches, and they truly made that a contest towards the end. What'd you two see?
I wasn't even going to watch it, to be honest with you, and I turned it on, and the next thing you know, I think they won the first match, lost the second. Rory won, I think, and then they had, you know, some close ones. But then you look down, matches like 5 through 10, it was all Americans, and you're going, God, if this guy can win, and they win four of those, and then it's going to come down to the last two. It basically came down to the last two, and that would have been the greatest comeback in Ryder Cup history, I believe.
Yeah.
Especially on foreign soil. Well, no, I still don't understand why Ricky gave him that putt. You got to make him putt that to win it, don't you?
Yeah, it's hard not to make him putt it. I mean, you see people miss two footers, three footers when they're nervous. Guy,
McIntyre missed one, didn't he? He missed a short one. And then I remember one of our guys, one of the Americans, he putted one pretty close, and he kind of went down to mark it, thinking the guy was going to say pick it up. And they ended up marking it, picking his ball up, and they never went back to it. So I don't know what happened, but, you know, you get a match like that, and the importance of it, and it's the 17th hole. Mm-hmm. And if he makes it, you lose. You lose 3 days of competition. You got to make him putt it.
Well, and Ricky, I don't know. I think there was some illness that went through the team room, but Ricky sure didn't play that many matches this week, unfortunately.
And he seemed like the one that was affected by it.
Wasn't himself, and I don't know if it was. He's just had such a good year, and it's great for golf that Fowler's back. But it was kind of shocking to see him not play very much and didn't play his best. Sully did ask me who I thought would be the who would have his coming out party, and Max Homa, I believe, went
3-0-1.
3-0-1.
Yeah.
So pretty darn good
performance. How about him when he had to take a drop on 18?
Yeah.
Did you see that part at all? Did you see it?
I'm going to have to catch the highlight.
It's a par five. It's a decent drive, and he pushes it way right, and it lands up by the bunker. Well, it's above the bunker, and you can barely see the ball.
Yeah.
And the other guy hit it short. And then he hit a chip to about 8 feet, 8-9 feet.
Yeah.
And Max is sitting there, and the water's behind him, and you don't know what. One guy was saying he should just hit it in the bunker or hit it out in the fairway and try to get up and down. He took a drop.
Took an unplayable, which is a penalty.
Yeah, took an unplayable, put it back, got a decent lie, knocked it up there about 12 feet,
made the putt for a win.
And wow. he won one up, and that kept everything going. Wow. But that was a ballsy play.
Yeah. So, I think that's actually a great teaching point for a lot of the guys that we play with, that, like, the positive self-talk. In his interview, he goes, Joe told me, Joe's his caddy, he said, we're going to drop right here, you're going to hit it to 10 feet, and you're going to make the putt. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of guys that are like, they start to panic in that situation. They're like, I don't know what to do here. And then they're thinking worst-case scenario, and Joe's like, no, this is what we're going to do. And he made it happen.
They made the right decision on taking the drop, because if he would have tried to play that out of that hay on the downslope, I knew it was bad, because I hear it, all the European fans like go crazy when the ball landed.
Right.
And I couldn't see it in the bunker, so I knew it was in the hay. But I think overall they made a pretty good run.
They made it entertaining.
I don't know if I would have picked Justin Thomas, but that's me. Well. Didn't have a good year. But yeah. All right, let's shift gears.
No, let's go back one thing. Dude, we got to talk about Joe LaCava.
We got to take it.
You saw all that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
When he took his hat and he was waving his hat because Cantlay didn't want to wear a hat. Everybody said it was because he wasn't getting paid. He said that's bullshit. I don't know what the real truth is.
He says they don't fit his head.
They don't fit his head, right? Well, some guys don't look good in hats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever see Seabass wear a hat? He wears a visor because hats don't look good.
Cantlay looks better with a hat on than with
he also gets paid to wear that hat. And then Justin didn't wear a hat. He got to wear a hat with that hairdo. I'm telling you right now.
Come on, man.
They got bad lettuce not to be wearing hats in public.
they don't got this kind of lettuce.
Yeah. Right. That's lettuce. That's some lettuce.
There might be some Bosley scholarships out there or something like this kind of weird.
Yeah.
But no, I think.
But God, I saw it. He was just waving his hat. And did he go over and step in Rory's line doing that, or what happened?
I didn't see it.
I just think Rory was ready to go, and Joe was still doing it. And they felt it was disrespectful. It might have. I don't know what the intentions were, but I probably would have been a little upset also. He drug it on quite a while.
Yeah, it was a long time.
I think the European fans clearly got under his skin, or the team skin, a little bit with how they responded to whether he even said anything about the money or not. But when I see a player in a Ryder Cup not wearing a hat, like anytime Woodland comes back, he's probably going to – he's not going to wear a hat when he plays golf. Maybe wants to go to a little sun up there. I don't know.
Right.
But, they're not bound to wear a certain brand or a certain hat because it's not sponsorship related event. But so that's all I put into it. And probably just do whatever makes you play the best. Yeah. Hat or no hat. But yeah, I thought LaCava may have taken it a little far, but a dude's a competitor.
We should try to get him on the show. That'd be a good one.
An extra bit of showmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta do whatever you can to win, right? Yeah.
All right. So Justin, let's talk about your game. How long you been playing golf?
Well, I started my second year in the league, so that's 4 years ago, but had two setbacks because I had a wrist surgery, and then a shoulder surgery the following year. So basically had to relearn. Was never good enough to even have a handicap until I came here and got some lessons. Shout out to my guy Mike right here. He's going to get me right. And now, you know, I'm shooting about 90s, which is amazing for me. Yeah.
That's awesome. What about the game? spend your time doing whatever during the off season. What about the game?
Oh, it's just so addictive, man. I've probably played this off season maybe 13, 14, 18 whole rounds. In the off season, I had, you know, a little bit of time in my hands, not having to go report into the building. But it's just fun. You know, you get to spend some time. It's a great way to interact with whoever you're golfing with, or, you know, you get to play some golf and talk in between and, you know, have some fun with it. But naturally, I'm a gamer. I like to, any game, any sport that I play, I like to master it. So when I go out there to play, it's kind of like a challenge to myself to keep trying to get better and outdo how I played the last time.
So, will you play during the season on an off day?
Depends on how physical the game was the day before.
Yeah, you're beat up
today. If it was a light game, I might go swing one in. But if it was a heavy game, you know, that golf day probably won't look too pretty.
So your schedule, you play on Monday, or you play on Sundays. Well, a lot of times you play Sunday night, you play Mondays, you play Thursdays, because the Chiefs are always on prime time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a Sunday game at home, your off day is Tuesday or Monday?
It's Monday.
Monday.
Yep.
And a lot of the courses are closed on Monday, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday, obviously, you have no time. I remember I played. Did you play with Patrick that day right before he went to camp?
Yeah.
About 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Because he joined Mission Hills, where I'm a member.
Yeah.
And we went out and played one day, and he was reporting to camp the next day. And I said, hey, well, let's play on your off days or something, or, you know, come over and have dinner at the club one night, you know, have a few beers and just BS. And he says, no, I won't pick up a club until the season's over, and I won't have a drink until the season's over. I'm going, God damn.
Yeah.
I'm glad I played baseball.
Yeah, I only take drinks after wins on Sundays. Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday, the game. It's so hard to recover from it with the amount of running that we do. Mm-hmm.
So what is your drink of choice?
Tequila.
Tequila
or Cab Sauvignon.
Did you ever do tequila and Fresca?
I haven't.
It's unbelievable.
Really?
It's really good.
Two of them last night before the game because I went home. My wife was in Wichita at her high school reunion. All 13 kids in her class, I think 7 of them were there. 40-year reunion. So I was home, and I went to the Royal last game, came back, and I said, God, I'm going to do a steak and make some steak tacos. And I had 2 tequila frescas. They were so good. Put a little salt on the rim like a margarita.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was good. I was out there grilling the steaks. Of course, I had a couple beers outside, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I started getting into some cognacs, too, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've recently started.
I can't afford that. I'm retired.
Well, I have a friend of mine, Ryan Anderson, who you saw him like a whiskey connoisseur.
Yeah.
So he always has all these different ones. He always have me trying like Whistle Pig and Birthday. You know what I mean? So, I didn't used to like it before, but, you know, you start to build a little bit of a palate for it.
Absolutely. So you're drinking your tequila with Red Bull.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, tequila orange juice, tequila Red Bull.
What kind of tequila? Like, are you a Reposado, a Blanco guy?
So I like Reposados and Blancos.
Have you ever had the white bottle, the Clase Azul?
Yeah, I had the Casa Azul. I like Casa Dragones a lot.
That's really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got to drink that Clase Azul with just a nice rock, just a little sipper.
Yeah.
Are you still drinking Kirkland? Sinks?
I don't drink anymore, George.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sinks has gone all natural.
Okay, so the strength of your golf game.
Yeah.
What's the strength?
Well, if we're playing a scramble. Yeah, if we're playing a scramble, I am definitely your best scramble partner because I occasionally hit a great shot, but my handicap is high enough that we're really going to keep the team score low.
Yeah, sure.
But
your drive. How far do you hit a drive if you catch one?
Best drive, maybe about 270. Right,
Sinks will confirm or deny.
George, I can tell you right now, he is built for speed.
He is built for speed.
I really need to get my driver a little bit better. Like I can touch 3 bills sometimes. I'm really about 275. My strength is actually my long irons, though. My long irons and my pitching. You know, my 6, 7, 8s could use a little bit of a touch up. But, you know, normally long irons are so difficult, but we got that one nailed down pretty tight.
How's the putting?
It's actually gotten a lot better.
I love it.
Yeah, I do a little bit of mini golf too. I use it as practice.
Do you hit a lot of putts around the house?
Actually, I do. That new, what is it called? Puttery that's downtown Kansas City.
Been?
Yeah, I have. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, they just opened that. Mm-hmm. I guess
It was like Tiger Woods and Rory's.
It's down on the plaza where Michael.
Where the Cheese Fit is.
It's right below Cheese Fit.
Yep.
The bar you went to.
Tomfoolery's?
The old Tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Okay, you know where, what is it? A putting place?
Puttery.
It's like putting. It's like mini golf in a bar. 21 plus. Tiger Woods and I think it's Rory.
Yeah, Rory invested in it.
Mm-hmm, they combined. It's been popping up all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah. It's got some cool things. It's got three different mini golf courses. It's a good atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty solid. All right. So what you like, you're a gamer. What kind of games, if you're going to go out and gamble with some of the teammates or some of your buddies?
Oh, I'm definitely a car guy. I'm a big time car guy. I play poker. I play my Tunk guys, my Bure guys out there, spades. Shit, I'll play Uno if you want to have a battle with it.
Anything for money.
Where'd you learn all this?
So school?
You learned this at school with all those Stanford geeks, didn't you?
No, man, it's really my mom's. My mom is from the country, bro. Like, she's from Opelousas, Louisiana, just outside of Lake Charles.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's in the water, man. If you don't know how to play cards, you're not even allowed to be in the room if you don't know how to play cards.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing. So who else plays? Who do you play golf with on the Chiefs?
So Trav and Pat play a little bit. Yeah. We have so many young players though that we have a young rookie named Echo Ebo. He plays a little bit. I've yet to try and get him on the course. I feel like he's been running from me. but yeah, I usually play with a lot of my neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah.
George, his array of people that he hangs out with is wild. You're what, 26?
Yeah, 26.
He plays golf with another guy I teach named Frank, who's 70.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
yep.
I can't imagine their balls end up anywhere near each other if they right. play the same
tees. Yeah, I don't think they're playing the same tees. Tee it forward for the boys. No, you but know, that's...
We played with his son. No, his son is really freaking good.
Teach him. I haven't met his son yet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty solid.
That's what's amazing about the game is you can play with any walks of life. Some of the people I've met are awesome, you know, younger, older, anywhere in between, different sports, and so that's what's awesome about the game is you can go have a hit with anybody.
Well,
so
you could meet somebody. I said this how many times on the show? Probably 10. You meet somebody on the first hole, it's noon, and 4 hours later you're done and you're friends for life. Perfect stranger at noon and friends for life at 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you probably meet a lot of guys on the football field, and you meet them at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock game in Kansas City, and the game's over at 2:30, and they're not friends for life. You're trying to kill each other.
Yeah. Between the whistles, we're definitely not friends.
You're not giving them putts and stuff. You're trying to break their leg.
Yeah, even my friends aren't my friends between the snaps.
Right. Afterwards, that's all.
Yeah, after, my, yeah. You know, after the snap's over, yeah, we're great friends.
How was it going up against somebody? I'm sure you played against somebody that you went to college with.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to hit him, and he's hitting you, and then afterwards it's great game. That was a great hit.
Yeah.
It's like Mahomes always says that. Hey, that was a good hit, dude. You know, after he gets sacked. God, that's a way to hit me. Are you crazy?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not personal. It's just the way that the game goes. So you don't take anything personally. I actually had a play against Garrett Wilson where he came to block me, and I ran straight at him to crack him back. And I hit him, and he was like, dang, man, you had to hit me like that? I was like, I'm sorry, bro, I had to. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just it's the way the game goes, man. So there's no hate in it. But that's the greatest way you can respect the game. And even your friends, especially if you want to talk trash afterwards, is you do it in a clean way, but you give them your best effort, your best game.
Yep. Yeah.
Well said. All right, let's take a commercial break. When we come back, let's dive into some of the behind-the-scenes things of your life and Chiefs life and what it's like in the NFL that maybe the listener wouldn't otherwise know. Golf Underground, ESPN KC.
Ryan Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you get a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, I've had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Limack. Come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love. And we actually care and listen listen to our patients and follow up with them, make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay, and so the three things that separate you, number one, best training. Number two, you specialize in getting people on that field. Number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in, and I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At SanaOrthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Hi, this is George Brett, Hall of Fame baseball player, and I've been playing golf for over 35 years. Hitting the ball far was never my problem, but the closer I got to the greens, that's when my problems began. When I wanted a golf practice area in my backyard, I called Celebrity Greens. They are the industry leader in custom-built synthetic golf greens. These championship-caliber, low-maintenance greens roll great, react like real bent grass, and hold chip shots that check and spin. I absolutely love mine, not only in Kansas City, but also in Arizona. Call the pros at Celebrity Greens at 1-888-507-7960 or visit them online at celebritygreens.com. Practice like the pros or people like me that want to be pros right in your own backyard.
Hey, Brian Sullivan, Golf Underground, with a little tip for you. If you're looking to buy a new Ford, you have to check out my buddy, Jason Gudenkauf at Lewisburg Ford. They've been saving Midwest Ford buyers thousands of bucks for over 40 years because they do business the right way. They sell everything, check this out, for $50 over invoice. That's simple and cheap. And they win a lot of awards. In fact, they won Ford's President's Award 17 times. That's the top Ford award. And they only give it to dealers with superior customer satisfaction in sales and service. So they know how to take care of customers better than anybody. Now, what these guys know how to do also, keep this in mind, sell trucks. Lewisburg Ford has sold more F-150s than any other Ford dealership in greater Kansas City. That's 2 years running. And last year, they were the number one F-150 sales leader in the entire state of Kansas. So, no hassle. $50 over invoice pricing, unparalleled customer satisfaction, and a huge selection. That's a perfect recipe for selling trucks. So, check out all their inventory and prices online at LewisburgFord.com or give them a call at 816-444-2300.
New golf clubs. A big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160, for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money. 816-353-2160, or visit starcompanieskc.com.
Welcome back. Golf Underground, KC here in the vault, enjoying a little Monday. I mean, what's better? A Chiefs Monday. What's better after going to New York, playing some pretty solid football, and coming out a winner?
How about Kansas City sweeping New York yesterday? The mighty Royals beat them 5-2.
Okay.
And then you guys won 23-20. Could have been maybe 30-20.
So the TV's just rolling.
The spread was 9.5. And Mahomes decided to do the old McKinnon. I think it was McKinnon did that, didn't he,
in the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl. Uh-huh.
And I was at that game.
Sorry, Betters.
I was at that game, and we made some bets before the game at the MGM window there. And, you know, I hit the Chiefs straight up, and then I saw this one bet. Chiefs giving up 4, and I'm going, oh, my God, you got to jump on that one because the Chiefs are going to beat them. And the guy runs, stops the clock at one, on the 1 yard line. And I'm going, no, don't you know I have money bet on you guys? And I didn't bet on the game last night.
Yeah.
I very seldom, the only game, football game I ever bet on, Super Bowl. And I only bet on it if you guys are in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's amazing how close, I mean, how many people were so pissed off last night.
That's a bad beat on the Scott Van Pelt.
Especially in Kansas City. I think people
first
in New
quarter
York,
17-0 thing is going to be sweet.
It's going to be over. And then all of a sudden you're fighting for your life and you have a chance to go up by 10. And
well, Kansas City wouldn't have so many primetime games if we didn't make it can't watch TV. You know, you got to keep everybody involved no matter what side of the game you're on.
So listen to this.
It was great.
We had one noon game all year and we already had it. Think about that. It used to be
they're all prime time. Yeah.
It's either prime time or 3:30 or Monday night, Sunday night. But yeah, the what I say about betting on the NFL, and I like to throw some action in, is it always comes down to one or two, maybe three plays that influence the action, right? Mm-hmm. That was one play, really. I mean, mm-hmm. So betting on NFL is, if somebody says they've got the
team, nobody has it. Nobody has it.
The odds makers are just too good. All right, so let's talk through. You land in New York on Saturday, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Talk through like what the program is from then until the game starts.
Okay, so we kind of got two different schedules depending on what time the game actually is. So if we have a 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock game, this program is a little bit different. So I'll talk about the night game first because that's what just happened. We land about around 4 o'clock, 4:30, whatever city we're going to. There'll be about an hour of time for guys to get settled into, you know, their rooms or go eat or whatever they want to go do. Then there'll be a special teams meeting, defensive meeting, position group meetings, which for me will be the defensive backs. We'll close out with a quick team meeting. We'll usually finish up all those around 7, 8 o'clock. Coach Reed will have his last minutes. It's usually a 5-minute speech. We'll be free the rest of the night until curfew at about 11 o'clock. We all do get bed checked. Usually on the money about it, too. Like, as soon as that clock hits, you have to knock on the door, see if you're inside of there. After that, wake up. Breakfast isn't mandatory, of course, highly recommended. They'll have breakfast available. Breakfast, lunch from about 7 till about 12. We'll have another set of meetings, defense, position, team, special teams, at about 11 o'clock, and that'll go until about 2:30. And then from there, you just have another window. There'll be two sets of buses you can choose from. For this game, we have a 5 o'clock bus and a 6 o'clock bus. So whichever bus you want to get to go into the stadium, and then you start your whatever your pregame routine is to get ready to go play. And then we kick off at Eastern time, so 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah. You talk about the team meetings. Do you also meet with special teams since you're the backup kicker?
Not for the kick. I actually do come in just for field goal and field goal block, but more because of the field goal block side of it. You know, last year I actually had we have these shirts that we get in warm ups. So I like have your name, your position group. And after I made the one versus Arizona, they actually put a safety / kicker on my shirt. And I wore it every week.
So when you guys eat, it's just you go to a big conference room and they have a big buffet.
Yeah, it's buffet. Yeah,
just
buffet
a huge
style.
Buffet, mm-hmm. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Usually, I like, you know, you kind of, after doing it a couple of years, you kind of get tired of it. I usually like going to a steakhouse that's nearby, or I'll like, you know, Postmates it right over. Yeah.
So did you go have dinner in New York, or what'd you do?
I Postmated some Ruth Chris over. Yeah.
pretty steep Postmate. I love it.
I'm going to say something really stupid here. I've never heard of Postmate.
Okay, it's like Uber Eats.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah. I've heard of that, or the other delivery service DoorDash. I've heard of that one, but I've never heard of, what's it called, Posting?
Postmates.
We'll get the app down.
You're Jackson.
No, you know what? I don't
stick
do takeout.
To your guns.
I do not do takeout.
You're Jackson's dad and haven't heard of Postmates?
Pardon me?
You're Jackson's dad and haven't heard of Postmates?
No. I cook. I'm a cooker.
Amazing.
I respect that. It's always better hot on the plate.
Yeah.
All right, so talking about the ritual and getting ready for a game, with giving us, you don't have to give us everything, but how do you mentally prepare? You got off the bus.
Okay, yeah. I don't listen to any hype music until right until I'm leaving the tunnel, because I don't want to emotionally drain myself before the game is started. So everything I listen to is smooth, jazz, classical, old R&B, you know what I mean? Things that, you know what I mean, is nice to listen to. I'll go see the chiropractor. He'll get me aligned. Then I'll go out. I like to watch, I usually download the team's most previous game, and I like to go watch it on the field, like before we go play, so I can like be there and I can see, you know, envision them on the field running these plays and how I'm going to respond to them. Then I'll go back inside, change it to my cleats. You know, I like to kick, so I go out and kick a couple. I usually start at about 30 yard line, so about a 40 yard field goal, and I'll just see how far I can go back. I was good from 55 this week. I missed that 60.
No then, way.
Yeah.
Have you made the 60?
I've made the 60 before. Yeah.
Butker get a little nervous sometimes when he's missing 45 as you're making them?
No, Buck's pretty good about it, but I think that the Cleveland Browns kicker probably wasn't so hot when I came in there. when I came in there and I made the extra point, and then he missed the two, and then they ended up cutting him the next day. It probably didn't help him out. Sorry, buddy. After that, I'll go back inside. I'll get taped up. And then at that time, it's about time to get ready to go.
So you're coming out of the tunnel. Let's just say it's a home game. What does that feel like? I mean, we know what it's like as fans, but running out of that tunnel.
Oh, man, it's incredible. You know what? I grew up in Louisiana, and I grew up on LSU football. And down there, football is damn near a religion. And it's the exact same way out here, man. Just the amount of electricity that's in the atmosphere when you run out, and that roar of a stadium, you just feel all that that energy, and just feeds inside of you. It's a very unique experience that's just fun every time you get to do it.
Love it.
Do you get nervous still for football games or no?
No, not really. Football games at this point still feel like practice. I try and make the practices hard. I try and make the practice feel like games. But I hit a point to where, you just go out there, and I'm a better player when I remain calm, cool, and collected rather than when I'm emotionally overjacked. And, I want to be that guy for my teammates to, get them put in the right position so I can think a little bit clearer. So I try and encourage the young guys, like, hey, the sooner you can get it to feeling like, like a practice – you're not going to make as many mental mistakes.
Yeah, when I played baseball, I was scared to death, nervous before every game.
Yeah.
Running out to third base, bottom of the first, top of the first inning, we're playing at home. Say there's 35, 40,000 people there, you're running out, my heart was beating 1,000 beats a minute.
So is there like the equivalent?
After the first pitch? Okay.
That's what I was just about to get to. Yeah. I was like, so I call that like first contact syndrome in football. Yeah. Like the first time you get to make some type of contact, then it like settles you back down. I was wondering what the equivalent was like.
Once that first pitch was over, I mean, every time I heard the national anthem, if we were standing outside the dugout, I had to go in and take a pee.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. They were hydrated like a horse.
Hurry up. Then it was over. I'd just run down the stairs, go to the bathroom real quick, go get my glove, run away.
Well, at that point, it's a ritual. If you didn't do it wouldn't be right.
God, it was weird. But
I knew a cat who threw up before every football game.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, your esophagus has to be on fire, bro.
Yeah. At Stanford or where?
Yeah. High school, kid in high school. And then I think that quarterback for the Bills, he does that too.
Josh Allen?
Yeah, I think he does that too. I've heard that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That quarterback, that guy.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like Voldemort. You just don't say the
LSU.
Name.
You're from Louisiana. What made you go to? What made you make the jump to Stanford?
Okay, so there's an interesting pie that all came together to make that happen. One was I had an older brother who played Eric Reed. And he was an All-American at LSU and went on to play for the 49ers and then the Carolina Panthers. So at the time, he was at LSU. The year before I came out, he got drafted by the 49ers. But my whole time going through high school, I wasn't ever really Justin Reed. I was always Eric Reed's little brother.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So part of it was I kind of want to blaze my own trail. And, I grew up on LSU. But I wanted to, go someplace where I can, put my own stamp on it. And I wouldn't constantly be, trying to – be that way. Now, he was always been an incredible resource for me, though. I'd always pick his brain, and when I was in high school, he told me about college, and when I was in college, he told me about the NFL. But the combination of that, Dwayne Aquina had recently left Texas, and he had guys like Earl Thomas, Sage Griffin, Michael Huff that he's coached, so I trusted his resume. He had just came to Stanford, and then, of course, the Stanford University being Stanford.
Yep.
It just made a lot of sense. So ended up going out there. My brother was playing for San Francisco, so I used to go play on Saturday go over to Levi Stadium, watch him play on Sunday, and he would break down the game film and what they were doing. So, when I came into the league, I felt like I was very prepared.
So you had a full ride to LSU, full ride to Stanford.
Yeah, where else?
Notre Dame, Michigan. Notre Dame. All of them.
Probably about 36.
Old Miss come after you?
I think so. After LSU did, it's kind of like one of those things that everybody wants what the other school has.
How old are you now?
26.
I went to my first SEC football game. My youngest son, Robin, who teaches. he's 27.
Yeah.
And we went down, he wanted to go look at Ole Miss. So we go to Ole Miss, they're playing LSU and they beat LSU.
Yeah, this weekend?
No, this is when he was a freshman. So
oh, they just beat him again this weekend.
19 years ago, 1819, or it was 9-10 years
That's
ago.
That's a big-time rivalry,
yeah,
too.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was my
Wait,
first
so was
SEC
it at Ole Miss, or was it
another
shoe?
It was at Ole Miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they broke the goal post off the thing. Yeah. It was incredible. Coach Freeze was the coach then.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you might have – no, you weren't on that team because you went to Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good – initiation to SEC football, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, at the time at LSU, I think it was Coach Cam Cameron. It was, of course, Les was there. I think that was, he might have had 1 or 2 years after that before he ended up going to Kentucky. But I knew all the staff there. Yeah, the strength coach, I knew all of them.
Well, you probably made a good call because they had a couple bad years there for a while.
Yeah.
LSU, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was right during when you were there. So. Yeah, I've been to a game at Ole Miss, Auburn, South Carolina. Never been to been to Death Valley.
I would highly recommend going to Death Valley, man. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
It looks incredible, George. Mm-hmm. We need to do a road trip next fall.
Okay, why not?
And
this
when
fall?
I mean road,
why
like,
not this fall? Oh, because well, you're having a baby. That's well, right. Your life's not going to change. Your life will change. We have a friend of ours, Jason Seaman. He runs Bushnell Golf, and he got married and having a kid. And he said, "Oh, my life won't change." Yeah,
I haven't seen
I played golf
five
with
years.
Him twice in 4 years.
Amazing. All right, let's take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to dive in on a little emergency 9 questions for the guest, and we're actually going to do a little something new, a little what's in the bag. He brought his bag in to practice.
We got a couple goodies.
We're going to dive through it and see what his favorites are.
I don't see your ball retriever. I don't see that club.
We'll be back. Yeah. Golf Underground, ESPN, Kansas City. Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN, Kansas City. We got Justin Reed in the house, and we got his freaking sticks in the house. So, all right, Justin, talk through. Let's do a little what's in the bag. We've got... Talk through the weapons of choice.
Okay, so we got some TaylorMade woods. We got some
Titleist concepts.
Yeah, we got some Titleist concepts for the irons.
And if you're a listener and want a really expensive set of clubs,
yeah, these definitely did put a dent in my wallet, but they are
so
really
six,
fun to
why,
go play
why
with.
Why did you pick those out for him?
I didn't pick those out. He got those picked out for him before he came to the golf stable.
Okay.
But
do they have a big sweet spot on them?
For him, they do. That's for sure.
Does he need a big sweet spot? Come on, you don't have to lie.
I think the sweet spot is good
sucks.
For him for now.
Go ahead and say it.
No, but in all seriousness, you get these guys coming in and they're like, "I want to play blades. I want to learn to play with a harder club." I'm like, "Why would you make life harder?" And they're like, "Well, it looks pretty." I'm like, "Well, I think this thing looks pretty when it flies 220 yards in the air."
Yeah, I like results.
Results are good. So. All right, what's your least favorite club?
Least favorite club in there right now is probably the six.
The six? All right, we'll change that.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite club at the moment?
Favorite club would be the 7 or the 5.
Okay. Well, that's weird.
I know.
That's really weird.
I know. And that's why I think that's why I don't like the 6 because it drives me nuts that I can hit the 5
so
and the 7.
You either hit a hard 7 or an easy 5.
Yeah.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like the 6 just doesn't work.
What about the putter? Are you confident with this thing right now?
I am. I'm really confident with it. I used to have a more of a wedge style, and I switched to that one right there. We can bring it out.
If you had a pick, a player... A Chiefs player on the roster to hit a 10-footer to win a tournament. Who would it be?
Better a 10-footer to win the tournament.
Picking yourself?
I mean, based on the level of guys we got in the locker room, I'm definitely our best bet.
I love that. Little ping PLD here. Solid.
George, you were talking about ball retrievers. His just has a head cover on it.
Yeah, that way I can hide it away. I don't use it often, so it has a head cover.
He doesn't even need to use this thing. He's too good of a stick. He gets these balls for free. Pretty well-rounded bag. He's a Titleist wedge, Vokey guy, SM9s, and he's got the concepts. And then we're going to get him upgraded into some new TaylorMade weapons. Probably wait till after the season ends so we can get the newest model going for him. All right, I got some emergency questions for you. Don't think, just kind of react.
Okay.
If you wish to say not answer, just say pass.
Okay.
All right, this is the old first thing that comes to your
this
mind,
is the right? Sheridan's Unforked, eating good, feeling good, rapid fire. We're going to go first question. Favorite golf course in the world?
Ooh, Phoenician. Play the best there.
I like it. Good answer. Favorite place, city, to play golf?
Florida.
Florida? Okay. Yeah. If you had to pick one college atmosphere that's the most intimidating to play
LSU.
In, LSU.
Yeah.
Other than the Chiefs, if you had to pick an NFL atmosphere that's the most difficult to play in, it would be?
Either the Seahawks or the Saints.
What is the weirdest thing you've seen on the sidelines in your 6 years in the NFL?
Oh, when I was playing in Houston, we're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars when Jalen Ramsey was still there. It was a year right before he got traded to the Rams. First, we saw a fight in the stands, like across the stadium. You know, you're starting to see a couple more of those. But then we saw the Jacksonville players fighting. It was right before halftime. We saw them fighting on the other side of the sidelines. So I'm on the bench, and I'm like tapping my dude, like, bro, they're fighting over there, bro. And then you hear about that they go in the locker room at halftime, they get in another fight. And then, yeah, it was just, that was a shit show.
Players were fighting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if it made the TV cut. Somebody had to catch it, though. Yeah, somebody had to catch it.
Amazing. All right, I got a couple more for you. Best place if you're going to have a night out in the off season, favorite city to go to and just...
Vegas.
Vegas?
Mm. Yeah.
So you're not chilling?
Yeah. Listen, we chill hard and we party hard whenever it's the right time.
So yeah. Since you're such a good card player, that's where you like to go have some fun, huh?
Yeah, I try and make my nights out free.
how's that go?
Yeah, it's a hit or miss. I'm really probably about even.
I love it. Hey, you know what? If you're a gambler and you're even out there in Vegas, then you're holding up your end of the court. All right. You're going to go play Augusta National. George is going to be your host, mm-hmm. And you're going to take three other golfers. Who are you going to bring? Buddies, friends?
Buddies, friends. Anybody?
Teammates, whatever. Who would you bring? Ooh.
Can be.
Okay.
Opponents.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. There's a former tight end here that I played with one time when I went play with a specialist.
Tony G?
No, he had a handicap of plus one. He was crazy good. He was a former tight end for the Chiefs a couple of years ago. Obviously not Travis Kelce, but
I'm blanking.
Yeah, but anyway, I take him first of all. I played with him. He was
solid.
Yeah, it was really fun to go see. Let's see, Trav, just because he's funny, not for his golf. And we're gonna round out a third. We got to put a professional golfer out there, so probably Rory, so he can put the team on his back.
Love it. Who's your favorite player other than Rory?
Tiger.
Yeah, good answer. Stanford Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know that your golf course, you picked up golf a little late. The golf course at Stanford is one of the best in the country for university course, and they have the busiest range in the country.
Really?
Facts.
Well, I wasn't good enough to know that whenever I played there in college.
Yeah. What is the name of the course?
I think it's called the Cardinal Course. Or,
yeah. Right.
And we played in Stanford's tournament every year, so we'd go out there and awesome first tee up on a hill, and you kind of hit over this road. It's awesome.
You know, I met a child prodigy while I was out there. I actually met two people. I met one of the former owners of the Green Bay Packers, Mary Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met to pass her, and we were talking about it, I actually met a kid on the course earlier, and I was like, man, this kid is actually really freaking good. He had to be like maybe 11 years old or something. And then we talked to her in passing. She was like, oh, yeah, you know, there's like some golf prodigy kid who's like golfing on the golf course today. And I was like, yeah, we saw him. He actually taught me some things when we were passing him by. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, we appreciate your time. One of the best shows, if not the best show we've done. So
you say that every show.
Well,
we always got to tap the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll appreciate it. We'll get these weapons working, let you focus on the remainder of the season.
Who we got next week?
Vikings.
Vikings.
Vikings, Broncos, and then we're in Germany, baby.
Germany.
All right. We'll see you next week on Golf Underground, ESPN, KC.
Yep. But each always invites people.